stumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. This opening number, 9 to 5, is brought to us by Dolly Parton. We'll be hearing more about and from Dolly Parton later on in today's program. But first, these trivia questions. Our trivia questions come to us today from funtrivia.com. Question number one, how do you complete the famous Dolly Parton statement, "You'd be surprised how much money it costs to look this blank"? Is it A, simple? Is it B, pulchritudinous? Is it C, southern? Is it D, statuesque? Or is it E, cheap? And then question number two, what was the song that Dolly Parton refused to share publishing rights with Elvis Presley back in 1974? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. We start out today's transition section with a couple of sad announcements about deaths in music. First one's from the Associated Press, written by Dikezi Mumbi Moody, and it was published on the 23rd of August, 2011, entitled Motown Songwriter Nick Ashford Dies at Age 70, New York. Nick Ashford, one half of the legendary Motown songwriting duo Ashford and Simpson, that penned elegant, soulful classics for the likes of Diana Ross and Marvin Gaye and funk hits for Chaka Khan and others, died Monday at age 70, his former publicist said. He had been suffering from throat cancer and had undergone radiation treatment, she told the Associated Press. Though they had some of their greatest success at Motown with classics like Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Ross and All I Need to Get by Gay and Tammy Terrell. In an industry where marriages and partnerships are fleeting, Ashford and Simpson stood the test of time. The thing is, they were married and working together. That was what was special about them. Everybody admired that, White said. The article skips down and ends with this. In 2002, Ashford and Simpson were inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Ashford is survived by his wife and two daughters. And then there's this notice from Jacob Adelman, Associated Press, published on the 22nd of August, 2011, entitled Jailhouse Rock Songwriter Lieber, Dead at 78, Los Angeles. Jerry Lieber, who with longtime partner Mike Stoller, wrote Hound Dog, Jailhouse Rock, Yakety Yak, and other hit songs that came to define early rock and roll, died Monday. He was 78. He was surrounded by family when he died unexpectedly by cardiopulmonary failure at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, said his longtime publicist Bobby Marcus. With Lieber as lyricist and Stoller as composer, the team channeled their blues and jazz backgrounds into pop songs performed by such artists as Elvis Presley, Dion and the Belmonts, the Coasters, the Drifters, and Benny King, in a way that would help create a joyous new musical style. From their breakout hit, blues great Big Mama Thornton's 1953 rendition of Hound Dog, until their songwriting took a more serious turn in 1969 with Peggy Lee's recording of Is That All There Is, the pair remained one of the most successful teams in pop music history. He was my friend, my buddy, my writing partner for 61 years, Stoller said. We met when we were 17 years old. He had a way with words. There was nobody better, and I'm going to miss him. The music world today lost one of its greatest poet laureates, said Terry Stewart, president of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum. Jerry not only wrote the words that everyone was singing, he led the way in how we verbalized our feelings about the societal changes we were living with in post-World War II life. Appropriately, his vehicles of choice were the emerging populist musical genres of rhythm and blues and then rock and roll. The lyrics could be poignant, as in On Broadway, or full of humor, as in the antics of high school goofball Charlie Brown, who calls the English teacher Daddy-O and laments, "Why is everybody picking on me?" Article skips down and ends with this. Lieber is survived by three children, Jed, Oliver, and Jake, and two grandchildren, Chloe and Daphne. The regular transition section for today's program, Today in Music History, is brought to us by BGORecords.com and OrbMusic.com. And today is the weekend of September 2 and 3. Now, if you were born on September 2, you share a birthday with Lourindo Almeida. He's the Brazilian composer-guitarist, developed bossa nova. And Mick Kaminsky, ELO. Born on September 2nd, 1951. Or if you were born on September 3rd, you share a B-Day with Niccolò Amati, the Italian violin maker, Stradivari, 1596, September 3rd. And Dorothy Maynor, the soprano, founder of Harlem School of the Arts, born on September 3rd, 1910. And back in 1915, on September 3rd, Memphis Slim, he's the U.S. blues performer, and Al Jardine of the Beach Boys, September 3rd, 1942. Deaths in music history this weekend include Horace Silver, jazz pianist. He died on this weekend back in 1928. And Woody Guthrie, This Land Is Your Land, died these days back in 1967. Miscellany in music history this weekend, well, back in 1922, the Weimar Republic president Friedrich Ebert declares Deutschland über alles as the German national anthem. And back in 1955, this weekend, it was Mitch Miller's Yellow Rose of Texas hitting number one in the USA. And back in 1964, the Supremes debut on the charts with Where Did Our Love Go? And back in 1966, this weekend, it was Donovan Sunshine Superman at number one. And back in 1971, this weekend, John Lennon leaves the UK for NYC, never to return.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Look at me. Who am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? Look at me. What am I supposed to be?
And in music news with a local touch, we see this article entitled REM Likes Chapel Hill Chorus. This was published in the News and Observer on the 28th of August, 2011, by Dave Hart. If you happened across the website of the alt-rock giants REM last week, remhq.com, you may have been surprised to see at the very top of the homepage the announcement, Chapel Hill Community Chorus Project performs Everybody Hurts, with a link to a longer article on the band's news page. It was the same on REM's Facebook page. The top post on the band's Facebook wall said, Watch the Chapel Hill Community Chorus Project perform Everybody Hurts, with links to the website and the YouTube video of the performance. By noon Thursday, the Facebook post had recorded 1,107 likes and drawn 92 comments.
Don't let yourself go.
It's very exciting, said Lauren Hodge, founder of the Chapel Hill Community Chorus Project, a program designed to give middle school and high school students an outlet to learn and perform vocal music. REM has millions of fans all over the world, and to think that so many of them are looking at what we've done and liking and commenting on it, we're very grateful. Hodge, in collaboration with the UNC Department of Music, founded the Community Chorus Project this year. The group's first project was a two-week summer workshop that drew about 70 young vocal singers. At the end of the workshop, with a $5,000 innovations grant from UNC Chapel Hill, Hodge, Terry Rhodes, music chairman, and Pat Parker, associate professor of communication studies, organized two recording sessions for the 32 high school participants, one for REM's Everybody Hurts, and the other for Adele's hit, Rolling in the Deep. Hodge obtained permission to record the songs from the music publishers and gained the approval of the performers and their managers for the project. The band has released a couple hundred songs, and a few of them have sort of transcended into the culture. So we get a fair number of requests for things like this, said Bertus Downs, REM's manager. We try to agree to most of them, especially for things like this, which are about music education and working with kids who don't necessarily have a lot of prior experience in music. Plus, it's in Chapel Hill, which we love, so how could we say no? The article skips down. On Everybody Hurts, Katie Weddle, a 15-year-old student from Raleigh, took the main solo. The recording session was filmed by Scott Rucci and edited into a pair of professional-quality videos, one for each song. Everybody Hurts is an unbelievably beautiful song, Hodge says, and to hear that song filtered through the hearts and experiences of 32 high school kids, it's just incredibly powerful. Apparently, REM thought so, too. I thought it was fantastic, Downs said. That song has touched a lot of people over the years, and I thought what this group did with it was really nice. I sent it around to the guys in the band and got some nice feedback. Sent it around to the other people I know in the business, especially those who have some connection to Chapel Hill. It's very professionally done. It's a great arrangement. It has a really good feel, nice energy, and I like the way the director interacts with the chorus. The kids did a great job. Hodge is waiting permission from Adele's management to release the Community Chorus Project video of Rolling in the Deep, but the reception Everybody Hurts has received has already been something special, she said. This whole experience has been remarkable.
Everybody hurts.
So, what do you know about our featured artist, Dolly Parton? Well, this bio comes to us from CMT.com. Born on January 19, 1946, in Locust Ridge, Tennessee, into a poor family that would eventually include 12 children, Dolly Parton learned early to escape the hardships of life through her vivid and far-ranging imagination. Before she learned to read and write, she was making up her own songs. She got her first guitar when she was 8 and began singing on a Knoxville, Tennessee radio station at age 11. That same year, she made her first recording on Gold Band Records, a tiny, independent label. She made a name for herself locally while still in high school, but she dreamed of a bigger stage. The day after she graduated in 1964, she moved to Nashville. Her first charting records on Monument Records included Dumb Blonde and Something Fishy, both in 1967. At about this time, Porter Wagner was looking for a new girl singer for his syndicated television show. Parton accepted the job in 1967, signed with RCA Records in 1968, and joined the Grand Ole Opry in 1969. However, she left Wagner's show in 1974 as her solo releases, such as Joshua, Coat of Many Colors, and Jolene, were out charting their collaborations. After their split, Parton wrote the song, I Will Always Love You, for Wagner, and it reached number one for the first time back in 1974.
If I should stay, only be in your way, so I of the way.
As a solo artist, Parton also snared the CMA's Female Vocalist Award in 1975 and 1976, and won the Entertainer Trophy in 1978. Still, her TV variety series lasted only one season in 1976. Her musical style grew closer to pop music, but fans responded as Here You Come Again spent 5 weeks at number one in 1978. She also grew more interested in movies, starring in 1980's 9 to 5, which opened today's program, by the way. The title song earned her an Oscar nomination in 1982's Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, taken from the Whorehouse soundtrack. I Will Always Love You reached number one again in 1982. A Bee Gees-written duet with Kenny Rogers' Islands in the Stream topped the country charts in 1983. Parton returned to her acoustic roots when she recorded the 1987 landmark album Trio with Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt. Four of its singles reached the top ten, and To Know Him Is to Love Him reached number one. After signing to Columbia Records, she returned to number one as a solo artist in 1989 with Why'd You Come in Here Looking Like That? The same year, she starred in the hit movie Steel Magnolias with Olympia Dukakis, Daryl Hannah, Sally Field, Shirley MacLaine, and Julia Roberts. A 1991 duet with Ricky Van Shelton, Rocking Years, reached number one in 1991, but Parton's greatest commercial fortune of the decade, and probably of all time, came when Whitney Houston recorded I Will Always Love You for the Bodyguard soundtrack, and both the single and the album were massively successful. In 1993, she recorded the album Honky Tonk Angels with Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette. Parton re-recorded I Will Always Love You with Vince Gill, and they won a CMA Award for Vocal Event in 1996, taken from the album Trio 2, a cover of After the Gold Rush, won a Grammy for Best Country Collaboration with Vocals in 1999. And Parton was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame later that year. Article skips down. In 2006, she earned her second Oscar nomination for Travelin' Through, which she wrote specifically for the film Transamerica. She also returned to number one on the country charts later that year by lending her distinctive harmonies to the Brad Paisley ballad, When I Get Where I'm Going. Parton also changed the landscape of her Tennessee stomping grounds when she opened the Dollywood theme park in 1985. It remains among the most popular vacation destinations in the South. She has also donated more than 1 million books to preschool children across the United States and provides scholarships to high school students in Sevier County, Tennessee. In return, the county honored her with a life-size statue in front of the courthouse. And then there's this information from imdb.com by Katie Heche. Her birth name is Dolly Rebecca Parton. Her nickname is the Smoky Mountain Songbird. She's only 1.5 meters tall. That's 4'11". Wears a 5.5 shoe, 48DD breast, and powerful voice and personality. Her spouse is Carl Dean, who she's been married to from 30th of May, 1966 to the present. Trivia about her, well, she was one of 12 children, grew up in a one-room cabin in Tennessee, and she reportedly has had her breast insured for $600,000. She was the world's first cloned mammal. Dolly the Sheep was named after Parton. She was elected to the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1999. She was ranked number 34 on VH1's Greatest Women of Rock and Roll. Her iconic hit song, I Will Always Love You, was voted the number one song on CMT 100 Greatest Love Songs of Country Music back in 2004. Created her song, 9 to 5, whilst on the set of the film of the same name by tapping her nails. She was unable to have children of her own because of an allergic reaction she experienced to birth control pills when she was younger. Ranked number 4 on the 40 Greatest Women in Country Music, number 3 was Loretta Lynn, number 2 Tammy Wynette, number 1 Patsy Cline. In 1986, she was inducted into the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. 1987, among the women honored by Ms. Magazine as Woman of the Year. She has a star on Nashville Star Walk for Grammy Award winners. She also has a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame, which represents her accomplishments in the field of recording arts.
You're on somebody's mind just almost all the time. Bet you already knew somebody's missing you.
Some more trivia about her. She lost a Dolly Parton look-alike contest. On December 31st, 2006, Parton was named by the Tennessean newspaper as 2006 Tennessean of the Year for her work with children's literacy. The newspaper has been naming a Tennessean of the Year since 1994. She was selected by the Songwriters Hall of Fame as the 2007 recipient of the prestigious Johnny Mercer Award. She was elected into the Gospel Music Association's Gospel Music Hall of Fame back in 2009. She was a recipient of a 2010 Lifetime Achievement Grammy on December 23, 2010. Personal quotes: I'm not offended by dumb blonde jokes because I know that I'm not dumb. I also know that I'm not blonde. I have little feet because nothing grows in the shade. If you want to see the rainbow, you gotta put up with the rain. I always love working with children. I never had any children of my own. God has his purposes. God didn't let me have children, so everybody's children could be mine. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. I think in a way my music has been almost like my ministry. Hopefully it's healing in some ways, just having a good sense of humor to be able to lift people up, to have songs that people can relate to. And finally, all these fine Christian-type people that seem to think they know what God wants for all of us, that's certainly more of a sin than anything they would claim about us. To judge people is one of the greatest sins. As seen in this next article, we see that Dolly Parton also has a local connection. She was to play here at the Durham Performing Arts back in July. Dolly Parton wants to lift your doomsday mood. This is by David Menconi, News and Observer, published on the 29th of July, 2011. These days, it seems the world is beset with a series of intractable problems, each one more hopeless than the one before. Between the lingering economic malaise, looming environmental catastrophe, and endless bickering over what to do, the situation is dire and getting more so. But fear not, for humanity has a secret weapon. Dolly Parton is here to inject a little sunshine into your gloomy day. Her new album, the optimistically titled Better Day, Dolly Records, sets decidedly humanistic love-one-another sentiments to twangy backcountry arrangements, and it will perk you right up.
Now, we don't know what heaven looks like, but we've seen enough hell right here and right now. But when the road is the roughest and the problems are the toughest, or when the times are the hardest, or that old sky turns the darkest, you gotta keep the faith, 'cause I believe there's a better day. And those old blues, why, they're gonna just roll right on away. I know they are. Listen to me.
We were granted a brief phone audience with the unsinkable Miss Parton to talk about Better Day in advance of her sold-out Tuesday night show in Durham. Question: you could pass for an environmentalist on the opening song in the meantime. What's up with that? I wrote that song years ago, and it's always burned in me because I wrote it from a place of thinking we need to try harder. We do need to take better care of the world and each other, because if we don't, it's going to be the end, not of time, but of us. People are so scared to death of all these doomsday predictors who say the world is ending, and it will one of these days, but that's for God to decide, not some crazy person. And like the song says, people get so caught up in the fear of dying that the joy of living is lost. So we need to do better, which we won't, unfortunately, but maybe one or two will. It's hard times, no doubt, and people need a little uplifting. The title track is especially optimistic. How do you manage that? That's one of the album's newer songs, and it's the blues. I never get the chance to sing that, so it's a positive message, talking about how the blues don't come to stay. They move away. But people are down, all this talk about the world ending when the Mayan calendar runs out. I think they just got tired of counting. And even if the end is coming, what can we do about it? If the world was ending tomorrow, I'd just keep writing my songs. So, are we supposed to wait and see if the world blows up or aliens come? Take care of business. Do something meaningful. That way, if the world does end, at least you'll have something to say to God. Lord, I did try. Or, whoops, sorry, I screwed up so bad with that free will you gave me. Question. Country is as country does. Almost sounds like you've got something to prove, but does anybody really question your country bona fides? Nah, but that song is so me. I wrote that with Mac Davis, and it was so much fun. I told him, you got to help me write a song about me. And he said, I think I can help you on that one. We fight over who wrote one line. If you don't like it, you can kiss my ham. I told Mac, I know you're going to tell your friends you wrote that one, because I'm definitely telling mine that I did. I don't even remember who wrote what, but it was a kick.
The handcuffs, but they won't lock. Electrical courses, but they won't shock. He pulled the fire alarm.
This is from the album They Might Be Giants, Join Us. And it was reviewed in the Week magazine on August the 12th, 2011. Fans of They Might Be Giants will be relieved to know that the duo has retained its appealing trademark humor, said Matt Deal in the Los Angeles Times. Better yet, Join Us is probably the alt-rock jester's strongest set since her 80s-era heyday. Lately, John Flansburgh and John Linnell have focused on creating children's albums, but while they may be their first offering for grown-ups since 2007, the distinction isn't always obvious. So how'd you do in those trivia questions? Answer number one, Dolly has said you'd be surprised how much money it costs to look this simple? No. Pulchritudinous? No. That's close, but no. Southern? No. Statuesque? No. The correct answer is cheap. Answer E. And answer number two, the song Dolly refused to share publishing rights with Elvis Presley in 1974 was I Will Always Love You. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. If you have a suggestion for an artist, group, or genre of music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 832-5138. So long until next time.